Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, talk. Why won't you listen? Argue, why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
Oh, my, 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 my. I am so happy to be back in the saddle here at Spouting Off, the show that I love, that I created. And in another couple of weeks, I may have some really fun news for you about Spouting Off. But yes, I am your host, Karen Cataline, and I haven't been here in an entire month. You're tuned to BBS Radio Station 1. And thank you first to Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio, to Michael Sabbath, Casper Stockham, and Kim Munson for stepping up to the plate, spouting off, hosting Spouting Off for me while I was away. And now some of you already know where I've been for the last month, but since it's my show, I get to I got married. That's what I did. I got married. And the whole time we were laughing about, not only did we go to Hawaii, the quintessential honeymoon location, but we got to visit a whole bunch of islands because we went on a cruise. We decided that was the best way to see Hawaii and the islands, and delightfully, neither one of us had ever been there, and I married a Renaissance trucker, a Renaissance man who happens to be a trucker, and he's driven in 48 of the 50 states, but of course, he's never been to Alaska or Hawaii. I've been to Alaska, but never to Hawaii, so I always said I would never go to Hawaii unless it was on a honeymoon, and I didn't intend to get married again. So I figured, well, I guess I'll never go to Hawaii, and voila. This just shows you, when you make plans, God laughs. Anyway, I had a tremendous time, and I'll tell you more about that. But when our ship went to Maui, and we'd been joking for weeks and weeks about Mauied, which is the Princess Bride, that's your cue, Doug. This is what we were laughing about when we kept saying we got Mauied. And we encountered a newlywed couple a little younger than ourselves that were wearing T-shirts that said they just got Mauied in Maui. So here you go, from the Princess Bride. Here it is.
Marriage. Marriage is what brings us together today. Marriage, that blessed arrangement, that dream within a dream. Then love, true love, will follow you forever. So treasure your love.
Thank you, Doug, for that. every time I said I'm getting married, I always said I'm getting Mauied. But nonetheless, I'm a little daffy today, because we did arrive only a week ago. And I wanted to tell you a little bit about what I thought about Hawaii, being introduced to it for the very first time. I thought, number one, it is the perfect place if you're getting married. That's the place to go. If you want to completely unplug, which I have a hard time doing, I always tell people, it's on my Twitter page, that I have two gears, neutral and overdrive. And my shifting mechanism doesn't work all that well. So it's hard for me to get back in gear, and it's really hard for me to get out of overdrive. You go to Hawaii, and it is so mellow that you have to slow down just to go to sleep or something. I'm telling you, it is a very mystical place, perfect for honeymoons, as I said. We arrived, and I looked around, and I said, well, this is a whole lot like Florida. And then the longer I was there, the less I realized it was, the less I noticed that it was really nothing like Florida. Florida is a much faster pace, especially in southern Florida. But Hawaii has this mystical quality, because apparently, as my husband has reminded me, the entire many islands are built on volcanic rock. So there's something mystical about it to begin with. And they work really hard to preserve Hawaiian culture, even though Hawaiian culture is also includes a lot of internationalism. If you want to feel like you're in the Orient part of the time and you don't want to go all the way to Japan or Korea or whatever, there's a lot of wonderful Asian influence. I have always wanted to go to the Orient, but have never gotten there. So that's really fun. But I noticed that the culture permeates all the islands. You know, the scenery is different in all of these different places, but the culture is still mellow. I fear that if I ever did live there for 6 months, and we were discussing that as a possibility because of my husband's work that he does, he might have had or may have an opportunity to do that. The great thing is I can do what I do from just about anywhere. If I have a computer and a microphone, I can do it from anywhere. And I thought, gosh, I might not be able to get worked up in Hawaii because it's just too glorious and mellow with the palm trees swinging and the sun shining and everything else. You know, they say, well, you know, the world is coming to an end. I might say, well, la, 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 la. That's fine. I'm in Hawaii. I don't care. But I'm happy to be back. I love what I do. And I'm going to give you the number because I'm going to move right on. But if you have thoughts about what's going on, maybe what I'll do is, I'll give you the number and then I'll tell you what I have on tap and the guest that I have at the bottom of the hour. It could either be 1:30, 2:30, 3:30, or 4:30, depending on where you're listening from. And if you're in Hawaii, well, forget about it. I can't count that high. So the phone number to call if you would like to join the program, particularly in this first half hour, it's 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. So the first thing I want to jump right into and spout off about is Trump's Britain visit, because that's happening right now. There was tons happening while I was gone, and I only peripherally followed it, but enough to know that, stuff is happening. So the first thing is that under no circumstances can you ever, ever, ever believe an ounce of what the media says? First, they started in advance of Trump's visit to Great Britain, saying that he had said that Meghan Markle is nasty. Well, no, she got nasty about not liking Trump and saying that she was going to move out of the country. Trump calls that nasty. Well, I have a lot of thoughts, and I've continued to talk about the disingenuous of the Trump haters. Now, you know, they're allowed to hate Trump as much as they want. And let me tell you, I don't think they could hate Trump anymore. I have never in my life seen such irrational insanity as the Trump haters. And that includes the Never Trumpers, which we will get into momentarily. But the negative coverage constantly, always, never ending, gives them absolutely no credibility. For example, this morning I saw a Huffington Post thing in which it said that Trump made a gaffe. I woke up this morning to another HuffPo that showed on everywhere. You could not tune in to AOL, and yes, I still have AOL, without seeing the Trump blimp. There is nothing that the media will not do to embarrass, to demean, defame, and demoralize people who for daring to like Trump, for daring to like his extraordinary accomplishments in less than 3 years. So could anyone ever really be that evil as they have painted Trump to be? These are the people who feel sorry for mass murderers. These are the people who, if Trump calls them animals, they defend MS-13. Seriously? They do. So in the world of the left, and by the way, make no mistake, I don't believe they believe most of this. I believe it is pure, unadulterated political strategy and political posturing. Say that fast without popping your peas in the microphone. This is political posturing, but unfortunately, people take it seriously. There are people on the left who believe it. There are people on the right who take them at their word, which is particularly annoying to me. How is it possible that any self-respecting conservative could take them at their word? I mean, how is that possible? For one thing, if someone is all good or all bad, in my social work training, we used to call that borderline personality disorder. Borderline personality disorder is the disorder that causes people to see everything in black and white ways. All right. So if you're having an issue with your mother, and you're going into therapy to talk about all your issues with your mother, if you talk to the therapist and you cannot say one good thing about her because you're so angry, yes, you get angry. But eventually, you know, she's a human being. She's filled with good and bad. And everyone has their, as my husband would say, idiosyncrasies. They all have their idiosyncrasies. But most of the time, and yes, there is evil in the world, but make no mistake about it, not only is Trump not it, Trump's not evil, and he's not the evil in the world. I have said and will continue to say unabashedly that he's a gift from God. But that said, borderline personality. You know, if you were my client and you came in and everything was either all good or all bad, I would work with you to begin to see some gray areas. Remember not so long ago in Hollywood when they started the 60s anti-hero on the basis that they didn't want any more white hats and they didn't want any more black hats, and everyone is a combination of good and bad. In fact, they even went so far as to say, the left has said, that we could all be Mother Teresa and we could all be Charles Manson. I don't buy that for a second. That is a way of collectivizing everyone and making everyone the same. The fact is, the only way you can zero in on a complex character, which we all really are, some more complex than others, is to look at them as an individual, not as a member of a group, not as a member of a conglomeration of ethnic and social identities, which is what the left tries to do. And Trump is hardly the devil incarnate. How could this inspire any credibility in anyone? Well, it does in the media, which encourages this black and white thinking, and not as it regards to race, mind you, this black and white thinking. So I kind of think of it as the media and the leftist politicians, and even a good many of the Trump haters, are so politically hysterical about this president, and for good reason, because he's a force to be reckoned with, that they want to turn us all into borderline personality disorders. They're willing for everybody to think irrationally, to behave irrationally, and to throw all logic and rational thinking out the window. Thank God there's a growing percentage of people who are finding the media to be incredibly incredibly uncredible is what I was going to say. They are uncredible. How long do you need to be lied to by the same people who refuse to acknowledge that they've been lying to you without saying that they are not people that you should listen to? You should not be listening to them. Yet there are people who do nothing but watch headlines. That's all they see. And so when the media says that Trump made a gaffe in Britain, well, people who only watch headlines are going to be embarrassed for Trump, embarrassed that he embarrassed the United States of America. And nothing could be further from the truth, because in fact, I saw some pictures of Trump having a grand old laugh with QE2, Queen Elizabeth II. It appears that Queen Elizabeth has a great deal of affection for him, as far as I can see. And even if she doesn't like him, I doubt that she thinks he's the devil incarnate. Only the American media, most of them, think that. And I have some pretty strong opinions as to why that is. In fact, I'm already getting back in the saddle, and I already have a blog post on the drawing board as to what I'm probably going to be talking about, you know, on my blog. And so, shameless plug, since it's my show, please watch my website, www.karencataline.com. And there you'll find my Facebook page link, the professional page. If you let me know who you are and that you're a Spouting Off listener, I'll let you into my personal page, because let's face it, nothing on Facebook is personal. If you think so, you just haven't been watching. So as far as I'm concerned, the only reason I have a professional page on Facebook is so I can have more followers. Otherwise, to me, it's all the same thing. you can follow me on Twitter, or you can get the archives for all the Spouting Off shows that we've had, including our wonderful guest hosts. And you can also find op-eds and blog posts. And that is right at the top on the pull-down menus at the top. So I do blogs once a week, and I'm getting to, I will be in the saddle probably next week, putting out a blog once a week for your and other public consumption. So here's what I plan to talk about. Let me just say for a moment, about the Trump talking about the Muslim British mayor. Now, because I have no regard for the media in this country, whatever I look at, no matter how much they say that he made a terrible gaffe, that he was so embarrassing, I know it's not true. And I'm going to go to the trouble of doing the research to find out exactly what he said. The fact of the matter is, he's brasher than I would be, and I'm pretty brash. But guess what? I don't care about that at all. Because the people that hate him for his style, number one, I don't think that that's true most of the time. And so what I wanted to mention before I move on is the Muslim British mayor. The dishonest media wants us to be embarrassed by that. And yet I got the feeling after I did some research that Queen Elizabeth II was delighted that he was sticking it to the Muslim British mayor, because she can't stand him. A lot of times, not always, there is always a method to Trump's madness or seeming madness. I don't think he's mad at all, and never have thought so. So what I am working on and what I have on the drawing board is this whole notion of Trump being his style and his style being the reason that people don't like him. I've decided that it is wholly untrue. And whenever they say, in fact, I was listening to Rush Limbaugh this very morning, and that's what gave me the idea to write this blog post for next week. He said that the Never Trumpers, and of course the enormous left that hates Trump more than MS-13, that it's a question primarily of style and civility. They don't like his style. They don't like his, they think he should be more civil. In my opinion, I love disagreeing with Rush Limbaugh, because it doesn't happen all that terribly often. But I think Rush Limbaugh is buying into the ruse that is being perpetrated on us all. And I think there's a lot of people out there, everyday people, who know darn well that it is the biggest lie, this side of the Mueller investigation. That is the biggest lie that we've been told in the last 3 years. But stop saying they hate Trump. They hate, here's what they hate. They hate what he stands for. They don't hate Trump. They have been trumping up hate for Trump because of what he stands for. And I know I've been talking about this a little bit, but I hear so many people, even on our side of the aisle, who really, really believe that they hate Trump. Now, yes, they let the Jurassic Park dinosaur out of the cage, and they've trumped up, and I use that word on purpose, so much hatred for Donald Trump that people have come to believe that he is hated. No, there are people who have bought into the fact that he's worth hating worse than MS-13. But the fact is, the people who trumped it up in the first place, they don't hate him. Here's what they hate. They hate the exposing of his of corruption. They hate that he can't be bought. They hate that he isn't one of them and that he answers to the people who elected him. Both establishment Republicans, as well as the great majority of Democrats, particularly those in the establishment, in government, they don't want the gravy train to be over. And while I know this has been said before, we still tend to buy into some of these narratives, which I think are completely and 100% false. Trump is a mixed bag, but I'll tell you what he is, and I've continued to watch him. He's extraordinary. If he had a D after his name, if he was a Democrat and even, you know, believed or went ahead and did some of the policies of Democrats and accomplished what he's accomplished historically, the Democrats would be making him emperor by now. He came out of the private sector with not an ounce of political experience, and he beat the likes of the Bush machine, which is formidable, the Clinton machine, which no one thought could ever be beat, and of course the Obama machine, which is in the process of beating now, and exposing them. Part of the way to beat them is to expose them for who they really are. They don't want you to know who they really are and what they really think and what they really believe. The reason Trump gets so much heat is because he tells you. He just tells you, this is what I think. He's a New Yorker. Maybe the reason his style never bothered me is because I lived in New York for 13 years. And I get New Yorkese. And it never, ever bothered me. In fact, I always appreciated the sort of in-your-face honesty of New Yorkers. And I always detested the phony, disingenuous lies of the culture of places like Los Angeles, who care so much more about appearances than reality. My dear father used to say it was the land of rented Rolls Royces, because it didn't matter if you could afford one as long as it appeared as if you could. And I never understood that till I actually lived in Los Angeles, and I realized everybody's running a racket in New York, except for the natives, the people who were born and raised in Los Angeles. Most of them kind of see through it. They're not the ones who came from Timbuktu, Iowa, to be a star in Los Angeles. But in fact, the honesty always, no matter how much of a gaffe he may actually make, Trump, and I don't think a lot of his gaffes are gaffes. I think that it's a way to control the media, to put their hair on fire, and to win while doing so. I think his strategy, and it is a brilliant one, is that even if he were to make a gaffe, it reminds everyone that he's a real guy. It reminds everyone that he hasn't taken media training, nor is he skilled, nor does he want to be skilled in learning how to lie better than everyone else. One of my favorite all-time lines was one from George Burns about acting. And as you know, if you've been listening to me for any length of time, you know that I did that too. I have a very checkered past, and I was in showbiz for a long time. And when I took acting classes, which many people, professional and not, have taken, they always would say, well, that just wasn't honest enough. You know, the goal is honest, honest acting. So George Burns was famous as for saying that honesty is what acting is all about. And if you can fake that, you've got it made. So that's what politics has become. It's the art of looking honest and looking real while you're lying to people. And Donald Trump just has exploded that for people. And God willing, he's exploded it permanently. Let me tell you who we have as a guest when we come back after the break. I'm very, very excited to have this guest. He's not only a talk show host in his own right, nationally recognized host of Business, Politics, and Lifestyles, a weekly talk show on WCRN 830 in Metro Boston, but he's a national political analyst. His name is Gary S. Goldman, and he's a conservative, and boy, oh boy, does he have a long resume. I couldn't read it to you, or I won't have time to have him on the air. But in just a few minutes, we're going to talk to him after the break. And what I wanted to talk to him about primarily is the phenomenal ongoing battle regarding declassification. We waited for 2 years for the Mueller investigation and for Trump to declassify all these documents that are going to prove that this was basically an attempted coup to unseat, to destroy a duly elected president, to topple an American duly elected president, and they don't want that to come out. What I'm interested in is to know what Gary thinks and what you think. If you want to call in, we'll have time for a call or two, whether you think this material is actually going to be declassified. Tucker Carlson doesn't think so. I was watching him last week while I was still on my break, and he said he's concerned that it might not get declassified. So that's going to be question number one when we come back and when we have the pleasure of having Gary Goldman on Spouting Off. This is Karen Cataline. You're listening to BBS Radio Station 1 and Spouting Off. Stay with us after the break.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N, and Kataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.KarenCataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.KarenCataline.com. Thanks for listening, and if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off. And welcome back to Spouting Off. Karen Cataline with you for the second half of our program. And I'm delighted to have with us Gary S. Goldman, who's a nationally recognized host of Business, Politics, and Lifestyles, a weekly talk show airing on WCRN 830 in Metro Boston, Massachusetts. He's a national political analyst and boy, oh boy, he's done a whole bunch of stuff. He writes, he does it all, and we'll let him tell you how to reach him in the future. But I'm excited to have you on Spouting Off, Gary Goldman. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me on. It's great to be on with you.
Great, great. Well, the very first thing is I told you that I've been away for a whole month because I was on my honeymoon.
Yeah, congratulations are in order.
Well, thank you. Yeah. And I checked in every once in a while, luckily not too often. And I happened to see Tucker Carlson, who I love, is dwindling what I care about on Fox News much anymore. But I do try to, I guess Tucker is my Cronkite for all intents
right.
and purposes. And he's just so much more likable than O'Reilly used to be. So I like him a lot. And he did a story explaining that many people have sabotaged Trump. I mean, we know that already. He's been sabotaged right and left upside down. And I mean that literally, left and right. But they've been trying to curtail or not allow him to even do what he's ordering people to do. And he believes there's going to be problems with declassification. And I would love for you to talk about that and maybe disabuse me of my fear that because I want declassification, and I suspect you may too.
Well, first of all, I think we need declassification to really lay out what is really going on here. I mean, it is, you know, I'm sure you, like myself, are frustrated over the way this president's been treated. I mean, if we even take a step back and look at, you know, look at what he's been under, the pressure he's been under, the opposition he's faced, and see the successes that he's had. Imagine mm-hmm. if he didn't have this, how well things would be going. That's number one. Number two, to allow, you know, those on the left and those involved in this, which I think is a conspiracy to some degree, and you know, those who attempted a coup on this government who was trying to overthrow a duly elected president, we have
it's
to
funny,
find
I
out.
Just said that before you came on, in almost yeah. those exact words. So go ahead.
Right.
Sir.
I mean, you know, we were going through a yeah. soft coup, and anybody, who, and I don't care what your party affiliation is, you should be concerned about it, because if we don't stop it and find out what happened, then the possibility is it could happen again. It doesn't matter which party is in office. But mm-hmm. to not declassify certain information, get it out there, and let the American people find out who was really behind this would be concerning to me. Because the people need to know, those that were involved in what was going on have to be brought to justice. And until that happens, I think we're going to see this continual push on from the left, on the impeachment, on all of this nonsense. I think Robert Mueller's statement last week was just part of the same escapade that's going on. I think Mueller was a little frustrated that he may not have gotten the reaction that he thought when AG Barr put out the information. I thought he thought people were going to be more outraged than they were. I think some people may have been upset, a little outraged, but they were ready to move on. But there are a lot of people who want to know how we got into this position, who is involved in this, and how they're going to be taken to justice. Because it has to be done, Karen, it has to. This is absolutely yeah. absurd.
Well, and, you know, I hear even a lot of conservative hosts at times never asking the next question. Yes, they wanted to destroy him. Yes, there's a whole other story that only people like Sean Hannity and certain conservatives have been trying to tell. And the rest of the media has dramatically ignored the story for all their worth. But the question is, why did they want to destroy him? Now, I'll give you my answer, and I'd love your thoughts. I suspect they're not too far away. Well, anybody who's willing to put so much on the line in order to, and to break so many laws, and to go so far off the deep end in order to destroy one guy, you figure he has to pose a hell of a threat to those people. And I just got through on a monologue for about a half an hour talking about the fact that it's not his style they don't like. It's not his incivility they don't like. It's that he posed the kind of threat that in policy that they are against. He stands and has been committed to exposing their corruption, exposing their lies, exposing what they've been up to, which is not serving the American people, but serving their own interests, serving the interests of globalism. I'm going on and on. I think what it is you have to know that this is the tip of the iceberg, and there's so much more under this that they were trying to protect. I think they trumped up hatred towards Trump in order to protect all of that. What do you think?
Oh, I agree with you. I mean, look at corruption, lies, what they've been up to, the whole globalization. The President Trump has just started to scratch the surface, and they know there's going to be a point that if he gets to that point, that is going to unravel everything. Look, it's been a Ponzi scheme on the American people. They go to Washington, they tell us the fake news, the fake stories, and unfortunately, too many people over the years have gone along with it. When the economy is doing well, we're fat and sassy, we seem to listen to them a little bit more. When things are a little tougher, we may get a little skeptical. But they have a majority or a good portion of the American people mesmerized with their lies. And now that they're being exposed, and we're finding out exactly, I mean, there were some of us who believed all along that something wasn't right. And I used to say this all the time, and many of my friends would, you know, tell me there was something wrong with me. But you could always feel something was not right, Karen. It just was not right. And he's exposing this, and they're petrified because it's, you know, it could mean to the end to them on so many different levels. If you look at what many of these individuals do when they get to Washington, they line their pockets and they make their families wealthy, and they, you know, the whole power thing, who's going to contribute to their campaign. If this comes tumbling down and they're forced to deal with things on a one-on-one basis, or, you know, like most normal human beings, or go to Washington to deal with the problems for the people, they don't want that. They want to continue this flim-flam, this scam on the American people, do what's barely necessary to make it look like they're doing something, try to get us involved in this whole global economy. There's talk they want us to follow certain laws, you know, globalization of laws within this country. Who ever heard of such nonsense? But that's what they're fearful of.
They're committed. They're committed to erasing our sovereignty.
Right.
And that's horrific.
President Trump does not need this job. He's doing it because I firmly believe that he loves this country and he's trying to make things better and get us back to some sort of status quo. And they're petrified of this because it could be the end for them. Never mind if we look at, you know, if we had politicians that had the chutzpah to go out and call what it is and, you know, prosecute some of these people, then I think we would start to see some of this stuff diminishing. But, you know, it all falls down to, we really need to know. Let the president keep going, exposing things. He needs to expose this, and I think somebody needs to be indicted and go through the system and hopefully end up in jail to really start the domino effect here. Because
on
the left really think they're still in control and they can, you know, flim-flam us as American people. But I don't think they're reading the public properly right now.
What do you think about my theory that all roads lead to Obama and Clapper and Brennan and all these guys, all and Comey, Clapper, Brennan were all Obama appointees. That was the easiest way to take over an entire agency and politicize it. And all roads lead to Obama. And I think only now are people beginning to even, am I hearing little inklings about that? Do you think, I don't think he's going to be indicted, but I think a lot of people under him will be.
I agree with you, and it's funny you say that, because when the president was elected and this whole mess started with the Russian collusion thing, which I knew was just a fake narrative right off the bat, a bunch of my friends and I wrote down five names in an envelope. I said, put these to one of my friends. I said, put these away, and you'll find out that these five individuals and at least three of the or four of the ones you just named are on that list. There's no doubt in my mind that the road leads back to them in some way or form. Now, I'm not saying, just like you said, that they will be indicted or they'll spend any prison, but that road does lead back to them. And I think we'd be naive if we thought otherwise.
You betcha. Well, what are the other names? Let's see. Brennan, Clapper, Comey. And what are the other two? I would add two, but you tell me.
I had Obama on that list. I'm trying to remember the list as we speak right now. It will come to me. And I actually had Hillary Clinton on that list for a number of different reasons.
No doubt she's on that list. By the way, I think a lot of these people hate each other, just like Obama hates Hillary. But you really don't. Let's see. Do we have a caller on the line? Wait a sec. I got to get my thing. I don't think that you can hire an honest person if you're dishonest yourself. It's
right.
The whole reason, in my opinion, why Obama chose Joe Biden, the old plagiarist. He's not going to choose somebody who's really, really honest. I don't know who that would be in politics, but it sure as hell wouldn't be Biden. I would put Strzok and Page on that list. So that's five. That's five. That is wonderful. Forgive me, I can't get over to my message list here. So forgive me, I think I may have a caller on the line. Doug, do we have a caller on the line or am I mistaken? Okay. Oh, McCain. So a little thing came in the top of my screen and I thought, oh, I have a caller on my line and I can't go to the right screen. I'm inept this morning because, I was in Hawaii last month. So that's an excuse.
Tough to get back in the realm.
And I got Maui'd. So that's an excuse for at least a year. I want to shift gears with you a little bit because you have a lot of similar interests to myself. I saw that you write a lot on victimization, political correctness and all of that. And I just think that's so important because the nirvana of Republicans always was to get a greater percentage of the black vote. And now that they're getting it and it's Donald Trump, they don't want it because it's Donald Trump. What do you think about, where do you think some of this, it's a little bit overly general, but I am fascinated by the Me Too movement, which I think is another political ruse, and the identity politics. What are some of your thoughts on that?
Everything, every day there's another issue in this country. What was I reading today? NBA players do not want to have to call the people that own their team owners. They're offended by that. Everybody's a victim. Everybody has as some sort of issue that is bothering them. And I think we're taking things a little too, if you're an NBA player, and I don't want to get too far off track, and the word owner is bothering you, I think you really have to stop and think who's making you wealthy and making you a multimillionaire, or an opportunity you probably would not have had. Let's be honest with each other. And there's too much of this victimization. There's too much of this lack of accountability. It's always somebody else's fault. And the whole political correctness thing, it absolutely drives me crazy, because when you look up the definition of political correctness, it doesn't say anything about not telling the truth. But somehow we've twisted this. It has to be a feel-good thing. We're not allowed to say something that may be truthful because we're afraid how somebody else is going to take it. We're afraid how our boss may, interpret it, our friends may interpret it. So we either let it go, which creates the place where we're in America today, or we just pretend things don't happen and we ignore it, which is just as dangerous, to be. But this whole mindset in the country right now, I think it's very troublesome and it's very dangerous, because we can't be giving every little thing up because somebody doesn't like a word that's being used. We want to change a definition of a word or the way it's said because people are offended. I think we're getting a bit out of bounds here, and I think in the long run, we're wasting a lot of time on issues that are a waste of time, where we could be spending our time on things that we used to spend in this country, like looking forward, being proactive, dealing with problems, i.e. infrastructure, before they become problems. So I think we're way off track. I'm not sure all the time where these movements come from, but they're totally, totally out of control. And, you know, you talk to people and they're like, I can't believe, they're afraid to use certain words in the English language now because they're afraid they're going to offend someone. I mean, that's totally ridiculous.
Well, I have some theories, Gary, about that. I mean, I can't prove any of it, but I'm always interested in motive. I'm always interested in who wants to change the culture in this way or that way. And you know that old phrase, cui bono, who benefits?
Yep.
Well, this is by design, in my opinion. I mean, I can't prove it. I'm not big for conspiracy theories. But nowadays, you don't really need a conspiracy theory to realize that the left, the hard left, has a concerted motive for collectivizing people into groups and to removing individualism from the mix. In fact, anything that smacks of being judged as an individual rather than to be judged as a member of a group, they detest. They also detest personal responsibility. If you, it's always someone's fault because you can corral victims into being dependent on the government much better than you can when people are independent and don't need your help. And I think that that has been true of the left for possibly decades and decades, is this constant move towards bigger centralized government, more taking away the choice and responsibility of people. But now, of course, you have radicals who are actually self-avowed socialists and want to create the culture in a totally different way. Anything that was American, quintessentially American culture, that's what they detest. You know what they say, politics is downstream from culture. I think that was Breitbart's phrase. And it's true. If they can change the culture, then they can change attitudes around socialism versus free markets.
Yeah, I mean, look, somebody, I totally, and I'm not a conspiracy person, and I know when I'm on the air and I get people calling with all these conspiracy theories, you try to be as polite as you can, but it's just not where I like to go with things. But somebody, there's no doubt about there are groups behind what is going on trying to change that, as you say, the whole culture. And, you know, when they want us, whether it's a statue taken down or they want to rewrite, how can you rewrite history? I mean, the whole part to me with history is you look at good or bad, you learn from the past and you try to propel forward in a more positive light and try not to make the same mistakes. You can erase these out of textbooks. You can pretend they're not happened. But the reality is they happened and they're part of our culture and they're part of our history. And just allowing people to think that they can make these changes and eliminate them, whether it's learning about them in school, is absolutely ludicrous. But there is a well, I've been saying this for quite some time, this is a well-orchestrated plan to change the nature of this country, to change the
I couldn't agree
nature.
More, and that's where I was going. And I agree. And Republicans are sadly behind the eight ball in calling that out, as it were. The left has been incredibly successful at changing culture. And you can see how political correctness, which in my opinion, there's nothing good about it whatsoever, is designed to attack the First Amendment. If you can make people believe that it's a crime to say something, then you've just eradicated the very first and one of the most important Bill of Rights. By saying that words are more devastating or more damaging than actions. In fact, the left does the exact reverse. They explain away criminal behavior, and they think words are crimes.
Right, and crime or just making people fearful of using words for whatever the consequences
exactly.
may be. They're
Good
winning.
Point.
And that mindset has set in when you talk to people, there are people that, like, you know, I alliterated a few minutes ago, people are afraid to use certain words to say certain things. That's a crime in and of itself, because you're putting the fear in people from saying what's on their mind. Since when in this country are we not allowed to speak freely and say what is on our mind? They want us to think there's a consequence for this now.
Yeah, and it's hate crime legislation was part of that. I mean, I really don't think you need to be a conspiracy theorist to know that there has been a hard left in this country that has been planning a lot of this stuff for a long time. People like William Ayers. Yeah. I mean, people certainly don't think Obama came up with all this. He was a great front man. But the people that he put in charge and his buddies and friends who helped him get there are career socialist Marxists. And they know that anything that has made America great, to coin a phrase,
right,
and that has supported American freedom is what they're against. It's just hard to get your brain around that we're being attacked from within. But I really fear that if Republicans don't, more and more and more people don't see that, not as a conspiracy theory, but just as a matter of reality, that we are indeed being attacked from within. Our very culture, our very Bill of Rights, everything that our parents and grandparents enjoyed in America is under attack right now.
Yeah, and the problem is, I don't think a lot of people understand the consequences of what will happen if this continues. You know, we will talk about the past and countries where, you know, freedom of speech is not allowed, and we say, oh, that can never happen here. It's slowly happening here. I think it's happening, though. It's starting to happen on slowly, but on an increased rate. And when it's gone, that's when your problem starts, Karen, because how do you get it back once it's gone? That's when
Precisely.
The fight really begins.
Yeah, and that's why it's so laughable that even the so-called Never Trumpers are worried about Trump's style and his language, because every time he speaks and says something outrageous, there's about five or six benefits for him doing that. One is he proves that he's a real guy. Number two, he shows he's not a politician. Number three, he's willing to be real and for people not to like him. And thirdly, he doesn't care about political correctness. So he's modeling for everyone else that even if you take a lot of heat for saying something no one likes, guess what? It's not the end of the world.
No, and the sun's going to come out the next day. You know, it's you know what I mean? It's like I listen to President Trump, I have friends, I have family members that, oh, my God, I can't believe what he just said. And then you'll question, well, what did he say that just offended you? What did he say that's not true? And first of all, it's sometimes it's his opinion, sometimes, you know, he's using factual information. But, you know, why are you cringing every time this man opens his mouth? Stop cringing and stop listening. Start listening. Because
and also,
they're so programmed to cringe and say something negative about him.
Right. And also, something else that is so anti-politician and anti-leftist is, you know, look at his results, not how he got there. You know, how he got there might be really messy, and it has been at times, but look at the results he gets, because he wants to be judged on his results. Why? He's from the private sector, and he didn't spend his life in a political setting where nobody is ever held accountable for their results, least of all the destruction that the left is bringing to the once great cities in this country. We don't have too much more time. We only have a couple of minutes. It has been such a joy to talk to you. You're so easy to talk to. Of course, you know, we agree on a lot of stuff, but way, way a lot of fun. I can tell you're a talk show host. If you ever need a fill in, let me know. Tell people, honestly, I'd be honored to do it. And, I'd keep you in mind for filling in for Spouting Off as well. Tell people how they can reach you, how they can read your stuff. And more about your show.
Yep, they can find everything on my website, GaryOnBPL.com. That's GaryOnBPL.com. And the show is Business, Politics, and Lifestyles. It airs Fridays at 1 p.m. and Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. on 830 WCRN. You can find us on TuneIn. You can go to my website, GaryOnBPL, and listen live. And all my writings are there for my different publications and blogs and podcast of the show, and I love to hear from your listeners as well. You know, a conservative in Massachusetts is very unique, as you may
yes,
realize.
It is.
So I always get that question when I talk to people, but it keeps me on my toes. And you know, the other side calls in, and I always tell them you're entitled to your opinion, but I always get them when I tell them their facts have to be truthful. So
not entitled to your own facts.
Right, exactly. So
exactly, Gary.
It's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure here having you on Spouting Off. Thanks for being with us. I'll have to have you on again soon.
Thank you. Well, have a wonderful day.
My pleasure. Our pleasure. And that about wraps it up here for Spouting Off. Thank you again. Pleasure to be back in the saddle here on Spouting Off, which you can reach us every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Mountain, 4 p.m. Eastern. If you'd like the podcasts, you can get every podcast of Spouting Off at my website, KarenCataline.com. I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, and that's as much social media as I care to do. Thank you to Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio, and to HW, my husband, the guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when there will be a whole lot more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.